Welcome to the one and only Comic-Con Podcast, your podcast for comic book news, reviews, and comic community drama, with your hosts, Nemesis Prime and Milton the Madman. Are you listening?
Oh, 2024, what is going on? New year, new season, season fucking four, episode one. What is up, everybody? Happy freaking new year. I'm excited. I'm really excited for this year. We have a lot planned. We are back, even though we've only been gone a week because we do a weekly show, but it feels like a long time.
Yes.
How are you, sir? Mr. Manimal in the building. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Yeah, new year. Same us. I know a lot of people, new year, new you, but new year, same us, but new stuff coming up this year. But man, before we even launch into it, you know, there's been a lot going on just in the past 2 days of this new year. And Justin, I think you need to explain to the people why your name showed up on the Epstein flight logs that were released. A lot of people have been asking you. A lot of people have been in my DMs asking why your name. Why are you
on a lot of money for the press to take that name off there?
Yeah, you were redacted for so long, but they got you, bro. They got you. The truth will out.
Yeah, I guess I hit up on that wrong list, but at least I'm not on that CGC tampered list, and that's all that matters. So
we'll be talking about that list coming up. That's like there's the Epstein list and then there's the CGC list. Which one's more nefarious?
It's gonna be wild. But so new year, you know, we changed our logo. We kind of changed our name. So if you know, of course, the Comic-Con podcast, it's still the Comic-Con podcast. But hey, we dropped a C. So now you can find us at the Comic-Con podcast at gmail.com. Only one C. So I've already actually received some emails over there. So awesome. The Instagram has changed also. The logos, you know, we got some new logos. We've already got some new merch. I sent a picture to Zach. Already got some stickers ready to go. So, yeah, you know, that's the one cool thing that we wanted to do for 2024. We wanted to be a new team and stuff like that. So, and then not only that, but we have a sponsor.
We do have a sponsor.
Super excited to present our sponsor in audio format. Be prepared, everyone. Hey, comic book collectors. Do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code Comic-Con15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.
Yeah, those are great, man. I'm definitely going to have to try to score some for my long boxes for sure. It's always the worst when you have like a new long box, right? And it's not completely filled. It's
not even close.
You're just getting it like started, and then they all slide after a little bit, and then some are like sitting down, or you do the whole little like some are up, some are down, just so you can, so it's not weird and they don't get damaged.
Or you put them sideways. That's kind of like how I do it. I mean, yeah. I don't have like a long box like you. I have all shorties, but I literally would take, you know, like if it's, you know, 10 books, or let's just say there's like 20 books in my short box. Mm-hmm. I take like 5 or 10 of them and switch them to sideways just so they're holding up
right.
The books for the rest of them. But that's what it is. I met the owner of Sidekick Supplies early last year at a show. You know, we talked, we saw each other a lot and then all over New Jersey, New York, Baltimore. I love his product and it literally works perfectly. You could go right on the website. Like I said, you probably, if you buy one, you're not going to be buying one. Like it is perfect if you have multiple short boxes, long boxes for comic book collectors. Mm-hmm. And they even does cards as well. So if you're a trading card guy, same thing. And it's literally perfect because the way I use it is when you have it in the short box, you can put it to a specific point and it almost is like a holder. So like when you're, you know, putting in new books and you're kind of organizing, it's literally like a stopper. Like
a divider, yeah.
Yeah, it's like so perfect. And it doesn't stick in because there are some companies that do like this kind of the same thing, but it like it jabs into the short box on the bottom and the sides. It really doesn't work because every short box or long box is, I would say, spaced differently. This thing snaps on right on the side and holds it right in place. So Definitely check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, sidekicksupplies.com, and so you get that good old 15% off.
Hell yeah.
So, starting off the new year, it's just me and Manimal this week. You know, obviously, we'll be having guests on regularly. We will be having, looking to have artists, writers, the whole nine yards, as well as comic book community members. That's what this podcast has always been about. So welcome all our new listeners for 2024. Please check out some of the old episodes if you're new to the program. And for all of our new old listeners, welcome back. But let's get right into it. So current books, what are we reading? Mr. Manimal, you're home finally from your long overdue vacation back at work. Finally got to a comic shop. Let's go with you, man. What are you reading right now?
Man, so I had like a big box from DCBS that had like some older stuff that I hadn't gotten around, or that, you know, because I do the twice a month or whatever. And then I picked up the books this past week. It was a little light, man. I haven't finished reading all of them. I still need to finish No One issue 7, Local Man, which I'm enjoying quite a bit, which is issue 8. Edenwood issue 3 and World Tree issue 6. So I haven't read those ones yet. But this week, the ones I really liked, so they got a new, I got two. It wasn't a great week. I got a two and an honorable mention, I guess. The honorable mention was the Book of Butcher, which obviously has been out for a little while now, but the Book of Butcher kind of giving you a back history on the Butcher House from the Something is Killing the Children universe. And it was cool. It's a little wordy as you get to like all the different like monster types. Obviously, you know, it's a lot of reading. It felt like one of the old like Marvel Universe handbooks that you used to get, you know, with all the character bios and stuff. But it was cool getting like some background on the Butcher House and like what was going on with it, and also like the different types of monsters. But, you know, it's my same complaint I have with the whole Something is Killing the Children universe is I feel like things happen and are like supposed to be set up. Like we had the Book of Slaughter was like 2 years ago now at this point. And that was like where they really talked about all the different masks and kind of giving you the lore of the universe and the Order of St. George. And it kind of felt like, oh, cool. They're letting you know this because this is going to be really relevant moving forward in the stories. And that didn't really happen. I don't feel like that really like came to fruition at all. We saw a little bit more blue masks. We saw some reds, but nothing really that was like moving stories necessarily. In this one, maybe we will, you know, we're seeing the different kinds of monsters. Whereas in the story, we're really kind of just the Obscura types. We saw a Duplicitype type recently. So maybe we'll see some more monsters going forward. I don't know. I mean, these books, they're cool. Like I said, lore wise, but I don't know if they're really pushing the story at all. But Maxine Slaughter, you know, going to become a black mask. That's kind of cool. What does that mean for Erica? Who knows? I guess kind of a spoiler since this book's been out for a while. It looks like she's going to be going over to the House of Cutter. So we'll get to see some like the European house over there in London. Maybe it's operating differently and whatnot. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. So honorable mention to that. And then two books I really enjoyed this week. Obviously, we had Fall of the House of X, number one, that came out. So the start of the Fall of the House of X storyline, the beginning of the trial of Cyclops, some cool stuff going on in there, seeing the mutants all like preparing to go to war against Orkies and the fallout of the Hellfire Gala. So that was cool. And then also Vengeance of the Moon Knight, number one. So Moon Knight, latest run ended. At issue 30, we saw the death of Mark Spector, Jake Lockley, Stephen Grant, all his personas, they all died. And the Midnight Mission was still running, led by Reese, the vampire, Tigra, Hunter's Moon, and Soldier. And so we're kind of seeing how that's going to work going forward. So at the end of this issue, we see a new Moon Knight show up. Not quite sure if it's our friend Mark Spector or what's going on, but cool lead in to the Moon Knight world, and I definitely enjoyed it. So I love the last run, and this one run seems to be picking up pretty good right where it left off. So
nice.
Yeah, how about you?
So for me, you know, obviously you gotta talk about Batman 141. You know, the whole Chip Zdarsky still crushing it every issue, and you know, I hate to say that because it was kind of a weak week of books for me.
Yeah.
There's still a couple books that I do need to read, but I don't think it was a very strong week in titles, I would say, both across the board. But yeah, the 141, obviously, with the whole Zara Earth Batman has just obviously been crushing it. Like, now that his persona is put into the failsafe, and just the back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's just so much that's going on, like, in this issue, and the back and forth between the way that obviously the mind of Batman works and what he's trying to do in this issue. Like, if I was to do, you know, Batman and Bruce is like, if I was to do something, how would I go about this? Well, I'd go get my family, but wait, I don't want to do that because the other Batman thinks that that's what I'll do. All right. So he ends up going into like a different direction. And again, the failsafe Batman ends up following him anyway, because just like Bruce, he can't think the same. Maybe like a villain would think differently, but I'm thoroughly enjoying this. And I know we talked about it, I think last month for 140, we didn't know if it was going to continue after like 142 because of solicitations, but how this one ends is with a new storyline. Well, it's kind of like a branching off. It's called Joker Year One, still done by Chip. So for the next like three or four issues, it's going to be a Joker storyline, which is going to be awesome to see Joker Year One. Cause we've seen that, you know, obviously Batman with Frank Miller stuff, and they've done it with a few other characters throughout the years in the Bat family. And recently they did like Deathstroke. I think it was like last year or 2022 or 2020, early 2023 had that. And this actually, for the first time, I enjoyed the backup story with Zara Earth Batman and all his, you know, other colleagues or versions of himself, right? Like old man Bruce, you get like the Tim Burton Batman, you get Dark Knight Returns Batman. So that was an interesting
Beyond too. Wasn't there the Batman Beyond one? Yeah.
Yeah. They're all different. The Batman 66 is in there. So I thought it was cool. Another book that I enjoyed was the final issue of Star Wars High Republic, Shadows of Starlight. We finally get the villain. We get finally Martian Rowe, you know, what he's been doing over this past year from the time that the Starlight Beacon fell to where they're at now in phase three. And, you know, we've talked about it multiple times. Like, the fact that you don't need a Sith to be a villain is perfect. Like, he is just a badass throughout the galaxy. Like, the Nihil is just such a cool concept. They're pirates and they don't have any type of force abilities. They don't have lightsabers, but we are introduced to somebody who possibly could do something moving forward in this High Republic era. So another, I guess I would say, honorable mention, but man, pick of the week, you know where I gotta go? I gotta go to Marvel Meows.
What?
You didn't know about this? The Marvel Meows? You didn't see this? Obviously, you wouldn't have picked it up. It's all canon, bro. Perfect issue.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. So,
do not start the new year misleading the people, our listeners, with garbage.
It wasn't garbage. It was a really good issue. Dude, I'm telling you, it was a week of stuff. So, what was I supposed to pick? Like, the Batman? I can't constantly pick Batman Star Wars. So, I had to go with Marvel Meow number one. I mean, it's really cool to actually have an idea, because obviously we all know that Captain Marvel has, you know, her buddy Chewie, the Flurkin. I didn't even realize that Black Cat and Winter Soldier have cats. And then you get all of Black Cat's cats from Amazing Spider-Man. And then there's other, what do you want to call it? Like Avenger level characters that show up in it. Lockjaw's in it. Bats the Dog is in it. But the best is, you know, Mr. Sinister has a cat.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, he does. But no, there's like stories. Obviously, it's a lot of non-verbiage thing. It's all you have to think like a cat, like what's being said. But that, there are a few stories, bro, that Loki actually becomes a cat. And it's actually hilarious, because like he's going around the Avengers compound and all the Avengers like suits are there, like Cap's shield, Iron Man's helmet. And he's kind of like wants them. And he's like pointing at them and asking like Captain Marvel, you know, can I take it, but obviously in cat form. And she's like basically no, and like swatting him away, spraying him with the water bottle. So I thought it was pretty fun being that person. So Marvel Meow number one, I don't care, is my pick of the week. I know it's terrible to start off the year like that, but that's how I'm starting off the year.
Did you read okay, wait, two questions before I ask you if you read something. What was the price tag on that book? It's got to be like $4.99, because it's a one shot, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gross.
It was not a cheapie. It was definitely it was thick, man. There was a lot of pages, to be honest, though.
Did you read Thanos number two?
Thanos number two.
Yeah. Oh. Because we talked about Thanos like when number one came out. And remember there was like the new character, the girl, and it was like, who is she? Why is Thanos like attacking? Blah blah blah. All that. Do you remember?
Oh yeah, that's right. I didn't read the first one. I remember you were reading it and you were trying to assumptions.
Who had a guest on? Who must have a guest we were talking to about that?
Yes.
So two things about that book. Number one, I was right. I knew it. Like, you just, Marvel cannot come up with like any new ideas. Like, just like, oh yeah, okay, that's who it is. And then second, like, oh dude, I honestly almost stopped reading the book halfway through. Like, I was just like, this is bad. Like, I just did not enjoy the writing at all. It's Christopher Cantwell, who, I mean, I know people love, you know, here and there with some of his stuff. But I was not enjoying the writing at all. So I don't know. I might give it a couple more issues and then we'll see where we go with it. But I don't know. Right. I wasn't impressed. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, if you go back to our older episodes where Zach talked about it, you know who he's talking about. And obviously, I know you don't want to spoil it, but again, I agree with you on the Marvel side. They don't know what to do. So they just go basic.
Yeah. It's like, who else would it have been? Really?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Well, let's get out of that talk. And, you know, we kind of teased it. I'm sure you've heard over the past couple of weeks what's going on with CGC. So we're going to talk about this whole CGC debacle, fraud, what's been going on. I guess the quick version, somebody's been selling and swapping books in CGC cases, tampering them. CGC released a statement. And then yesterday on the 3rd, because this is we're recording it on the 4th, they came out and had a whole big article on the updating statement on the holder tampering incident. So
holder tampering gate.
Yeah. Tamper gate.
Tamper gate. Rolls right off the top.
Tampons or something. I don't know. Tamper, something like that. But so the article is basically right over at CGC, which is crazy because it's the fact that it's actually on CGC's website and not in one of their forums. It's, you know, posted on their Instagram. It's just wild. So, directly on their website, cgc.com, over in the news article goes, based on the current information, we believe that the approximate 350 books are affected. A list of impacted books has now been posted on the cgc.com website. If you purchased any of these books in the list, you can submit to CGC for review. And they go back and they talk about that the list of books has been impacted will be periodically updated as soon as they're submitted for review. So obviously these books are, if you have them, you can go ahead and submit them back. Obviously, they're going to be checked. And I'm sure they're going to, you know what it is? They're going to be like asterisks, like when Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds like broke the record. There's going to be like an asterisk next to now these in the CGC logs, like previously tampered with and updated or whatever. Yeah. So the list is pretty wild. If you've seen some of the, you know, the numbers out there, there is probably what do you want to say? Like 95% is Marvel books.
Yeah. Right? It's something like 100 some are ASM 300.
Yeah. So the big numbers, and this is like wild. Like there is the big numbers obviously is ASM 300, 252, 238 and 194, all key issues. And what blows my mind is the number of first Black Cats in 9/8, first Green or Hobgoblins in 9/8. That's just wild to me to think that they somehow all these are 9/8. You know what it is? Like I could see if there was a couple 9/8, a couple 9/4, a couple 9/6, but the fact that this list, when you scroll down it, there's so many books that are in 9/8 is just like mind blowing.
Yeah.
So, but then again, you know, there's some big ones. You know, you have like Avengers number one, there's Daredevil ones, there's some early FFs in there. You know, not too many DCs. I posted it. I made a meme about it. I thought it was pretty funny. You got like Catwoman 51, which is the Adam Hughes cover. There's a Superman book in there, like a very older Superman book. Randomly, there's like Jean Grey, J. Scott Campbell variant, some Michael Turner stuff, Signature series, which is wild. Some New Mutants 98s, obviously, they were on there. Marvel Secret Wars number 8 was on there. Surprisingly, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1.
Wow.
So it's just, I don't even know. I really don't even know how to go around this. You know, we talked about this. A lot of other people are talking about it. you know, what's your idea of, like, are you going to submit books to CGC? Should people be turning to CBCS? Should people be turning to EGS? What's your kind of thoughts?
I mean, I've never been one who submits very often anyway, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm more of the, and maybe this is the, I would fall in this danger, but trust me, I'm not trying to buy an ASM 300 by any means. I don't care. But like, I would more buy the book than I would try to grade my book. I've never had a lot of luck with grading my own books. I'm not a good judge of what a grade is on a book. And then I send in garbage and it comes back garbage. So, yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know what you do. It is what it is. Is there going to be issues like this? Yeah, it's inevitable that someone's always going to find a way to cheat and scam. You know, it's unfortunate for like a person who, you know, I'm clowning on ASM 300, but obviously there's a bunch of Venom fans out there. And that sucks because there's probably a good chunk of those people who are owning that book who aren't trying to move it to, you know, sell or whatever. They're just like, oh, I'm a Venom fan. I want to have first appearance in my collection. And that's unfortunate. But at the same time, you know what? Who cares? Like, if you never plan on selling it, then, so that's kind of something I, you know, was, I think you and I were talking about, like with my X-Men books or like the Hulk 181. Like, bro, it is what it is. Like, I'm never sending it in, and I don't care. No one who comes or no one who sees it, I'm never selling it probably. So like, why would it ever be concerned about if it's one of those, you know, fraudulent ones? You know, enjoy your books, man. Don't get caught up in all that garbage. What is their what are they doing? I can't remember. What did they say they're doing to, like, if you have one of these books, you can send it in, and what's their like solution for this?
So you send it in and then they'll go ahead and they'll review it, and I guess they'll determine to get the correct graded, and it'll be reholdered, new number returned. Obviously they'll take out that number. Says it'll be reholder with a new certification number and return to you at no charge. If your book is determined to be incorrectly graded, our support team will contact you. You may be asked to submit certain edition documentation as part of the review process.
So if it's determined that it's graded correctly, there is a charge to you?
I'm pretty sure they're still not going to charge you.
Yeah, they shouldn't, right?
But I, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of people out there, like, we are, you know, there's like YouTubers, podcasters, there's people on Instagram, everybody who, you know, has been talking about this. But then there's also the people that don't have no idea about this, right? Uh-huh. So let's just say you're a dealer or a vendor, whatever, and you're selling books, and, you know, let's just say you look at the wall, you go to a show in like the next month, and you're like, oh, ASM 300. Right. You're like, oh, can I check it out? And then you say to the vendor, oh, is that one of those tampered ones? And they look at you like, got three heads, right? Because what if they don't know?
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? Carry the list around with you and run the, I mean, honestly, if you're looking to buy this book in the near future, you probably should, I guess, is make sure you
any of these numbers. Books, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you're trying to work on your Spider-Man collection and you want to real get, you know, a high grade book, I guess you really need, I mean, like you said, you really need to have this list basically with you, because there are a good amount of ASM 300s and, you know, other books that, you know, prominent books. There's obviously smaller books in here, like randomly there's like one NYX3, there's like randomly one Walking Dead number one, which is a little bit more, I don't want to say rare, but I would say it's, you know, it's like hitting a needle in a haystack with one of those books.
At least the ASM 300. One person who has that one, you're like, damn it. Like, you're the guy. You're like, oh man. But I wonder also, is CGC like let's say I send one in, right? Like my ASM 300, one of the 105 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Are they updating? Like, are they like, okay, like, you know, just keep numbers simple. Number 56, boop, that's out of circulation. Okay, we're good there. Like, it'd be cool if they kept the running tab on the list and been like, boom, okay, cross that one off, that one's cleared. But that's probably asking too much from CGC.
Just give you an update. Since you're actually not looking at the list.
I'm not, yeah.
Here on the website, it does say books eligible for holder review, certifications numbers with a strike through them have been submitted for review already. So
awesome. So cool.
Yeah. So there's at least from, you know, just scrolling down real quick, looks like at least five of them. You know, right off the top, there was an ASM number one signed by Stan Lee. There was like a CGC 8 that's already been looked at, ASM 5, There's a couple Journey into Mysteries, I think I saw down on the list, but yeah, so that's how they're doing it. They're crossing it off. But
cool.
Avengers 57. What's Avengers 57? Vision?
Maybe. I
forget off the top of my head. But yeah, so they are striking out as they're in review, so they know that they're not out there in circulation. So
cool. That's super helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, super helpful. But at the end of the day, a lot of people are even saying, and I think it's the truth, I think they need to clean house at CGC. That were sending in, you know, because that's, you know,
is
they always say
CGC problem though. Like, is this CGC's mistake, or is it someone who got one over? Obviously there's quality control issues, of course. Right. But
that's the thing, is like when you send in a book for reholder, they always say that this book may change the grade. Like they don't guarantee that the grade is going to stay the grade.
Right.
Because when they crack it out, they could damage it. And that's not on them. You're literally signing it saying, yeah, here, you have to sign this. Like, I remember, you know, even if you take a book to CGC at a show and you want to have it cracked by them to get a signature on it, like, you have to sign a waiver because they're literally cracking it like right in front of you. Mm-hmm. So they could damage it. But that's, you know, that happened. That can happen. Right.
Yeah.
I crack my own books. If they're a blue label, I'll crack it myself here. But if it was already like a yellow label with one signature and you want to add another one, like, I'll be at MegaCon in a month. I want to crack my Transformers number one because I have Peter Cullen already signed it and Frank Welker is going to be there. I really want Megatron and Optimus Prime on the Transformers number one. So I will most likely be bringing that to Florida and having it cracked so yeah. I can have him sign it. Like, that's, and it could drop a grade, you know? Someone could regrade it and it'll come back a 9.4. But the way this whole situation was, is that they were taking the books and realistically just reholdering them and asking for either new, the updated labels. So those books weren't getting checked again, but right. They should be getting checked again. Like, they weren't taking them out of that cell. You know, have you ever cracked open a CGC?
Yeah.
So you know how they have that like inner well? Uh-huh. My assumption is they were just like cracking it open, leaving it in that inner well, and then just sliding it into at CGC and then sliding it into a new one, slapping on a new label and being like, okay, it's still the same book. We're not changing the grade. But in reality, they should have realized that these books weren't the condition that they originally came to CGC.
Yeah. So. I don't know. Not much. I mean, honestly, I'm surprised. I'll be positive here. I'm pleasantly surprised on two things. One, that CGC actually came forward and made like a statement. I was surprised to see that they did that. I didn't expect that from them because they usually don't give a shit. And then second, you know, updating us that they are, like, as I said, like scratching them off. Like, those are two big steps in my opinion that I haven't seen from CGC in a long time. But more than that, do I see them cleaning house now? I don't know what they're going to do. The thing is, it's an unfortunate truth with life, right? Nothing's going to change until it affects a big dog. You know what I mean? It's not like me or you sitting in our books. They're like, yeah, we're not changing our practices for YouTube schlubs, you know, but like a big time dealer who maybe gets burned, like, that's something that would do it. Like, someone who actually has a ton of money moving through that. But I don't know, man.
Well, maybe like an auction house.
Yeah.
Like a Heritage or Metropolis.
If they got burned or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. But I don't know. You know, you never know what's going on in the background, I guess. So.
Right.
But so that's the CGC talk. Let's kind of move on to some reviews. So we have a TV show to review and also a movie to review. So let's keep it with some Marvel stuff. Let's go with the What If. So started at the end of December, December 22nd, rounding out to December 30th. We had the What If season 2. New episodes dropped daily. Which was interesting because sometimes I forgot that the episodes were dropping daily. So I caught them in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then some mornings I'd wake up and be like, yay, I get a new episode today. So season 2, there were 9 episodes. I guess you want to kind of pick your 3 best, 3 worst type of thing, or and then overall review of the season. You want to just
honestly,
talk about it overall?
I don't know if I got a 3 best, 3 worst, because they were all pretty lackluster to me. I didn't think any really stood out more than any of the others. Some were kind of cool, I guess, but like, I didn't think any of them were like, wow, dude, oh, so awesome. I don't know, dude. I mean, it was cool. I'm not trying to be negative about it. I'm not trying to be negative about it. It was cool, but by no means was like awesome, dude. Like, but if they wouldn't have made the season, I wouldn't have cared. Like, I don't think I missed anything if they wouldn't have made this season. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe I can talk more about, like, I don't know. What do you say?
Spoil it?
I mean, we can spoil it, but like, it just, you know, I don't know, dude. Maybe I'm also just like, I've talked a lot about how I'm multiversed out. Like, it just doesn't matter to me anymore. Like, what do I care if Nebula joins the Nova Corps? Like, I don't care, dude. Like, okay, so they killed Gamora. Now, you know, Ronan's the big bad guy, which is also like makes no sense. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Ronan killed Thanos? No one could kill Thanos, but Ronan did? Like, this guy was one of the weakest dudes we've seen in the MCU. But like, what if he won? You know, like, okay, dude. I don't know. Whatever. What are your thoughts on it? It's just
So like, I you know, obviously I watched it every day, and then probably December 31st I needed something else to watch, and I think I restarted the season, but I kind of skipped the first couple episodes. The whole Nebula episode is definitely a takeoff of like Blade Runner, you know, yes, Prime Noir thing.
Yeah.
I watched it once. I didn't start that. When I restarted the season, I'll tell you where I started. The Peter Quill attacking Earth's Mightiest Heroes, I thought was an okay episode, seeing the different versions of the Avengers at that time. But that's kind of like stupid in a way. Like,
yes, Peter Quill, every episode was like, here's a new set of Avengers.
Yeah, well, that was the idea. Cool. The Happy Hogan, couldn't care less. I get the Die Hard thing. Like, that was their main thing on that. The worst episode was What If Iron Man Crashed Into the Grandmaster. Agreed?
Yeah, that was pretty dumb, man. Like, just that, what was that, like, Phantom Menace? Were they pod racing, like, for the majority of that stupid thing? Like,
it's like Mario Kart.
Yeah, it really... I guess the Captain Carter stuff was the best, probably.
But see, like, here's the thing, and I had this conversation. I was talking to someone I play Fortnite with, not our buddy Jeff Comic Dunes, and I said, so obviously the Captain Carter versus Hydra Stomper was actually a really good episode, because the day before that aired, since I was sick on Christmas, I actually watched Black Widow for the first time in a very long time. So when the whole Red Room came up, I was like, oh, cool. Like, I like this, because I literally just got finished watching Black Widow. So this was like perfect. So obviously that's a great episode, in my opinion. And then the fact that then she's used again in the 1602 episode, and then she's again used in that final episode. So what I said to him is, if they're not leading her to come in live action in like Secret Wars, they shouldn't continue to use characters from like season one, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of emphasis on her.
Yes. So now the fact that she's been in six episodes, because it was like three episodes in season one, and now she was in three episodes in season two, if they're going to continue her as like kind of like a main part, and obviously the way the season two ends with her seeing the world tree and that leading with Loki season two, that's where realistically, like, she needs to come out of the animation world. And because this is obviously a what if, and even the Watcher says, oh, I don't like doing sequels. Well, if you don't like doing sequels, you sure use this character three times.
Right. And you were speaking to her where she could hear. You definitely had like a friendship with her.
Well, I think, because any of the multiverse Avengers of the Multiverse, or whatever the hell they were called. Yeah, Guardians of the Multiverse, like, can hear them. The Kahori, you know, we talked about this last week when we were live, the fact that you're getting a first appearance of a character in a cartoon prior than a comic book series. You know, what do you think on her?
So
could you see her as a, you know, in the comics?
I don't know, dude. Here is my issue with the Kahori character. So, okay. So this was literally my thought process, and I'm sure someone listening is going to be like, that's not the case. But like, maybe it's not the case, but this is what I thought. And this is what I was thinking as it's happened. I was basically like, so what we have here is you have a Captain Marvel Native American. That's what you have, because it's the same situation where Captain Marvel got her powers from the Tesseract. Kahori's getting her powers from broken Tesseract. So all we've done again is just empower another person with the Tesseract. What is cool about that? Not one thing. In fact, like the character and the idea is a cool, was a cool idea, but like, goddamn, man, it's so, they can't come up with new ideas. Like, oh, we'll go with the Tesseract. Okay. Well, it'll power and we'll make her blue. And so here's something that'll be different. She can run fast. But I mean, that's literally all it is it's Captain Marvel, Native American, and she glows blue and can like also have like telekinesis, I guess, as well. Some form of like telekinesis with her blue Tesseract power. But that's all I kind of thought. I just really was like, nah, I don't know, dude. Like, you can't come up with a different way for this character to have powers. Like, it's the same problem with comics, right? Like, come up with something new. It's Native American lore. You telling me you can't come up with some kind of idea to give a Native American character powers? Literally, their whole like culture is based around like mysticism, like spiritualism. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways to give them powers. And they're like, oh, I don't know, throw the Tesseract at her. That's so stupid to me. But I mean, yeah, I guess the episode was kind of cool. I thought it was boring, honestly. I mean, I thought the episode was pretty boring. And then her showing up at the end, like with the team up with Captain Carter, is kind of like a, I don't know.
Well, it's like a buildup. That's what it is. They're trying to build her as a character to see if you'll like her and not just have her.
Yeah.
Well, so here's a question, and I don't know too much if you know, obviously you're talking about a character who's gained their powers from an Infinity Stone. Like, what was your thoughts? Remember the character Star that was introduced in the last Captain Marvel series?
Yes. Just
around the movie?
Yeah. Sucked. And not a good character. Doesn't show up anywhere. Is not written well. Mm-hmm. Was a villain for a little while, I believe. She was part of a Thunderbolts team at one point. I mean, I'm not super savvy on Star, but I know well enough that I don't see her anywhere. So I don't know, dude. I don't know, man. It's like you can't come up with any ideas for new powers anymore. I'm not by any means saying I have the ideas, but I don't write comic books, so I'm not required to have these ideas. I don't know, dude. It was a cool enough season, and I guess the last episode with, you know, what if Strange, you know, Supreme intervened and you get all the bad guys and all, but honestly, I think I watched it and I watched the whole season and I was just like, okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah, definitely. It's not a memorable season like it was for the first one. And I still feel like, you know, and then obviously there's the Hela and the Ten Rings, which was an interesting
thing.
That was
a good one. I liked that one.
You know, it's a good redemption story for a villain.
That might have been my favorite.
That was probably one of my top threes in there. And then the What If Avengers Assembled in 1602 was a good episode just for the fact that you had different versions of the characters. But, you know, I feel like, again, like, why was Peggy there?
Right.
Again, that's the idea. Like, lead her to something.
I thought it would have been a better episode if it was just 1602.
Yep.
Not what if it was 1602 with Peggy Carter, you know, from like four generations. If they would have done like the 1602 storyline and just been like, hey, look, here's, you know, superheroes in 1602. I thought that would have been way cooler. Throwing her in kind of felt like a cheat in a way.
I agree. You know?
Yeah, and especially at the end too, the last episode, like, oh, now she's got Killmonger's Infinity armor. Like, come on, man. Like,
They brought him back real quick to take away his stuff. And then like Thanos shows up at the very, very end, right? Like,
yeah.
Killed again. Like, oh man, Thanos just can't get a deal in the What If series. Like, I'd rather see something with him. Well, yeah. And then he shows up at that end of the Hela episode too. Like, they come to take over whatever planet Gamora was from, like, that he was attacking.
Right.
Yeah. Overall, I think the season was okay. Season one was definitely better. Just the introduction of all the characters. Like, I still think like my favorite in the fact that like the first season introduced everybody was good. Right. Like Peggy, the different Doctor Strange, like that episode is just like so dark for Marvel. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like such a dark Marvel thing. The Marvel Zombies is probably my favorite. And then, yeah, then the last two episodes with, you know, Ultron and the whole Guardians of the Multiverse, basically. But yeah. This season was like, it was there. It was fun.
Yeah, that's about it for me, too.
So overall, I mean, I'll continue to watch it. It's you know, it's funny, like as all these things were happening and during the holidays, you know, I was being sick and couldn't do anything. Like I said, I rewatched Black Widow. I even spent some time and binge watched Falcon and Winter Soldier for the first time in a very long time. Mm-hmm. This second or third time around, it was actually a lot better than it was the first time. And I actually enjoyed the series a little bit more. So I think I actually put it up higher on my Disney Plus shows.
Nice.
So
I'd like to watch that one again too.
It was good. It was a good binge. Yeah. A lot of things that I kind of feel like I missed maybe the first or second time around. And to be honest, I could swear this is probably only the second time I watched it. So I thought it was a lot better this time. I understood things more, and you still feel that fallout from like the snap or the blip, whatever you want to call it. So overall good. That was a good series. So if you've ever watched Captain and Winter Soldier, go back and watch it again. So that's one of our reviews, and we are doing a final review of the last DCEU movie, because I know Mr. Zach was on vacation, got to see Aquaman number 2.
Yeah.
And I felt like I needed to go see it. And I know usually we do our reviews for the new listeners. We typically do bonus content for full reviews, but since we kind of missed out on that, we figured we'll just spend the rest of this first episode of the year talking about Aquaman number 2. So if you want to go see it, you can shut off now and come back to this. And if you just want to listen to us rant about a movie, sure, stick with us, because I know Zach and I haven't talked about this at all. So
yeah,
this is going to be interesting. So overall, I thought it was great. I thought it was an unbelievably great movie, from the fact that, you know, the movie's not going to, you know, as the movie was getting, you know, coming out, their movie's like, oh, it's not going to make any money. It's the worst of the DCEU projects.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, looking like it's not even going to make $100 million. And guess what? Within 2 weeks, it's already surpassed what the Marvels did in its entire run.
Yeah.
Aquaman is a character. I know it's like the bro Aquaman. Some people don't like him. I still think Jason Momoa plays a badass Aquaman. Hands down, Black Manta is the best villain of the DCEU. Hands down. He was just such a badass, like straight up villain to the end. And we've always talked about that. These villains like to change their tone right at the end. And you really think something's, I mean, we're not, you know, we're going to spoil it. I'm going to say it. You really think that he's going to take Aquaman's hand. He's like, gives him like the fingers. He's like, never.
Just
like dies. Yeah. Like perfect. Like lovely way to kick it. Love seeing Amanda Heard, you know, her reasonings. Like everybody was like, oh, she shit on Johnny Depp's head, so she's not going to be in the movie a lot because they're going to do a lot of things. No, the reason, and she actually just came out today on January the 4th of why that she wasn't in a lot of the movie was because there was a lot of issues with the chemistry between her and Jason Momoa. Even though, yeah, things like off screen could be nice, but I guess like during the movie, that just was, it was very tough. But this movie was supposed to be like a brother's thing, like a family thing. And I think overall, like she was in it enough, so Ocean Master could kind of take that role over, because obviously that's what they were trying to do. I do like a lot of the callbacks. I think the Stormy, like the seahorse, if you've watched, like if you read like the older comics and the cartoon, and then Tippo, the the octopus, same thing. Like that's old, huh?
The cephalid or what, the
cephalopoid or whatever. Yeah, all that old stuff is just so cool. Like it's throwbacks, and it's like stuff that like is deep in the lore of Aquaman and DC fans. So the fact that that was thrown in there, I was like, wow, they're really doing this. Yeah, okay, I'm liking it. So, you know, obviously the only thing not having Vulko in there was, you know, he died. That's what they explained, that he died because of whatever plague was going on, because of Black Manta's people doing that thing. The Lost Kingdom is cool. The villain at the final end. And even like, again, at the very, very end with Ocean Master taking the trident, you know, he still like, he wavered, right? He was on that verge of staying good, going bad type of thing. And even Ocean Master's always been a villain, but he's still Aquaman's brother in some way. So,
yeah.
But overall, I thought it was an absolute great movie to end the, I think this was a better, wow. Like you think about it, the last three movies was this, Blue Shazam. Beetle, and was Shazam before Flash, or was it
Flash? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was Shazam, Flash, Yeah, Shazam, Flash, Blue Beetle, and then this. So, to be honest, like, this was a way better send-off for the DCEU than if we would have ended with, like, Blue Beetle. But Blue Beetle supposedly is staying on. Thank God that, like, the final, I guess, Justice League member ended on a good movie.
Yeah.
So, what about you, man? What did you think about the movie?
You know, I was pretty excited with the trailers and everything, like, coming into it. I thought it looked pretty good, and I was never a massive fan of the first one, but it was cool. You know, I had a few comments of the first one where it was like, I don't know, almost like Star Wars underwater. I mean, I never liked the whole ships and stuff like that for like the Atlantis people or whatever, but I did enjoy this movie quite a bit, man. Like, I thought it was fun. I loved the dynamic between Orm and Aquaman. I thought that was really cool. And, you know, we do always talk about how, like, the bad guys never stay bad. But, you know, Orm isn't always bad in the comics. He's not like some of these other villains that they turn bad. Like, he is, even in the first movie, it wasn't necessarily that he's bad. I mean, obviously destroying the Earth and, like, the surface dwellers isn't awesome. But it's not, like, he's not horrible. He's trying to do the right thing. He thinks he's the king. And even like the new, I really enjoyed like the new 52 version of Orm. And that was kind of what this one really felt like. This was very much like a new 52 Orm, where he was like good and bad a little bit back and forth. So I love the dynamic between the two of them. I love Patrick Wilson as an actor as well. So he's awesome. Yeah, I thought it was good. I'm really was happy that it wasn't like, you know, you knew he was going to have a kid in this one. And I thought that was going to play heavy into the story. And it really didn't, which I thought was great. Like with the good choice. You don't want to be like this. Of course, it's how it ended up. Like, of course, they're going to steal his baby at the end and he's got to go after it. But you don't want the whole movie to be like, oh, you got my baby.
It was like Ghostbusters too.
Yeah, right. So, I enjoyed it. I you know, I thought a lot of things were really cool. I liked the different things that they did with the movie. Black Manta, like you said, was awesome. I wish it wouldn't have been Black Manta possessed by someone, because I think Black Manta is so badass by himself, where he doesn't need like a power up. You know what I mean? But it was still really cool. I liked Dr. Shin's character. I thought was really cool as well. The whole like, hey, I'm trying to see Atlantis. Oh man, I kind of jacked up and I might have destroyed the world to try to get out of this hole that I dug.
Yeah.
You know, it was all really good. Now the bad things. Oh, wait, before I get to the bad things. So first off, just my first thought when they go and they show like Necrosis or Necropolis or whatever it was, I was like, is that the tower from Lord of the Rings?
Like, oh, yeah.
Sauron vibes. Like, it, you know, and it was
Minas Morgul.
Yeah, like the Nazgul going to ride out or some shit. You know, like it definitely was totally like Lord of the Rings style. But that was pretty cool, I guess. I mean, I do kind of find zombies and like the hive mind, those tropes are kind of played out a little bit. But I like the Lost Kingdom aspect. That was all really cool. But the negatives, especially at that last scene. And this is the thing. It was especially bad in this movie, and I guess it makes sense, but the CGI at the end was horrible. And like, there's a part, if you go back, if you watch it again, I'm trying to think when it was.
Oh, sure. Let me just go and
they're climbing, right? They're climbing. At some point you'll watch it again. It'll be
yeah, of course, when it's on Max.
Yeah. They're climbing up the bridge at like one of the last scenes, and it looks horrible, dude. Like, I was just like, oh, this is really, really bad CGI. And I get it. They probably were kind of like, and I don't blame them. They're probably like, you know what, dude? Don't make it any better. This movie's dead in the water. No pun intended. And that's really the unfortunate truth about this movie, about Blue Beetle, about Shazam, about The Flash, is the truth was all these movies were dead in the water. Because as soon as they came out of that announcement from James Gunn, it was like, what's the point of this? Like, it doesn't matter. There's no like need to really go watch this outside of like Christmas time fun movie, possibly. But the CGI is bad at the end. And that's always kind of been my issue with Aquaman, I think, is the damn whole movie's pretty much a green screen, right? Like, that's always kind of sucked with Aquaman, in my opinion.
Like, it's tough to believe the flowing of the hair in the water, but like you're in a movie, like you have to realize, you know, there's no way around it.
It's a tough character to do and make moderately realistic. I mean, what else? But like, you do have the fight scenes where he's on land, and of course, you want to see him in the water. I wish they would have done more once again with his. And I thought they honestly, I really thought like the opening scene where his son's doing the speaking with fishes, the fish, and like the, I thought they were going to play more into that in this story. Mm-hmm. And you really only saw it at the beginning, and then you saw it at the end when he like enlists the aid of the like the whales. But he really didn't use in both movies and all of his iteration their appearances in the DCEU. He didn't use his powers that much of like, you know, speaking to oceanic life. And I kind of thought as the movie started, I was like, oh, cool, man. Are we going to see some more of that? And like, that could be kind of cool. And they didn't really do it too much, but all in all, I'm with you. I enjoyed it. It was a good send off. Do I think I would like to see the same version of Aquaman in the future? No, I'm not sure. I'm crazy about the bro Aquaman. Though this constant woohoo screaming is kind of obnoxious a little bit, but, I wanted more. I'd like a more royal Aquaman, I guess.
Yeah,
but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Jason Momoa's like version of Aquaman. Who would have thought 10 years ago we were going to see Aquaman, honestly, in the theaters besides on Entourage? But
and even to get two good movies.
Yeah, like, two good movies.
You know, we always talk about the Marvel movies, like what is like the best, like the trilogies and like the best, you know, figure two good movies, or you may get one good movie out of this hero and then the second one's like, eh. But listen, both movies were really good. Like
they were solid. Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, the fact that, I mean, you know, the first time you saw Atlantis was like, wow, this is actually really good. Like it's kind of like close to like Avatar level. Like it'd be really good to see this in like 3D IMAX type of thing. And, you know, and I didn't really talk about this, but I like how they expanded on like some of the lore they expanded on. You get to see like the one king from the Brine Kingdom.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He's because he was always like a cool character that you literally see from like so far away in the first movie.
Right.
And then like that's it. And it's cool that it's like there's that kind of like flashback, not really like a flashback, but he's like, oh yeah, he's like arm cut off my arm and it took, you know, a year to grow back, and then he's got the arm and then he loses it again, but at least it's a callback. That's
right,
what I was looking for, that they have that it actually is like a continuation. So,
you know,
it was great to have everybody there, like Tamora Morrison's character, his mom, like Dolph Lundgren. Like I didn't think I was going to see him, and then all of a sudden he shows up. I'm like, oh wow, they're
pretty right, big role too.
Yeah, they're getting probably everybody.
One of the larger supporting roles. Well, I mean, you look back at the DCU, you know, like you said, like the movies, right? You had good movies, like character wise, like both Shazam movies, very strong movies. Mm-hmm. Shazam 2 is a good one also. It just falls in that horrible time frame where we knew it didn't matter. The two Aquaman movies were solid. I mean, I liked the whole Superman. I liked all the Superman stuff. I mean, if you watch it, you know, what's funny is I had to like explain to I went to see it with my nephew, and he's 8 years old, and he was like, oh cool, wonder when Aquaman will come back. And I was like, hold it, bro, there'll be no more Aquaman. I had to like explain to him like DCEU and like what's going on. And as I'm like explaining the situation to him, like I was like sad about it, you know. I was like, he's like, well, what was the problem? I was like, honestly, it was like a lot of little things that, you know, ended up happening with Zack Snyder and then the universe, and then Warner Brothers jacked stuff up, and then it just spiraled, and it got to a point where, like, you know, I mean, Wonder Woman's movies sucked, bro. I'm not really going to do this, but I will fight people who tell me Wonder Woman, the first one, was a good movie. It is not a good movie. It is Captain America, First Avenger. That's all it is. It's all it is in World War One, the more boring of the world wars. It's the same damn movie. It's not a good movie. It's a good introduction for a character, but like, I liked Superman. I don't know, man. I'm going to miss the DCEU, I think.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be a weird one. At the end, did you think when he like announces to the world, like Atlantis? Oh, and that, and he totally did the Iron Man thing.
The Iron Man, yeah.
Yeah, that was totally like, they're like, they don't even care anymore. They're like, no, I am Aquaman.
Yeah.
I was really thinking, I'm like, oh man, they're doing all this in front of all these people. I'm like, are they going to do like a stupid cameo for one of the superheroes? Like,
oh,
Sam going to be there? Is Wonder Woman going to be there? Is, you know, because, you know, we saw the last time we saw Aquaman was at the end of Flash in the end credit scene. I'm like, oh God. Like, and I didn't want it. I didn't want to see anybody. Right. I'm glad that
don't tease us with something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, don't give us anybody. And even like the end credit scene was just like, yeah, who cares? But yeah, I'm glad that they just kept all the characters from the first one and all the characters from this one. Like, I liked how it's similar to like what James Gunn did with Guardians. Like, it's very confined to just the movies. It's not branched out. Like, in the first one, it was just like an announcement because like that movie came post Justice League, right? Mm-hmm. There was nothing else going on. Like, he doesn't announce anything like, oh, Batman's here, or Superman, or Flash. Like, yeah, he'd even mention Flash, right? And they're friends. But overall, yeah, I think people, if for the people that didn't see it and then and you're still listening, I recommend going to see it. I definitely recommend going to see it. I thought it was a good movie for comic book fans. It's a great movie, you know.
It's good to see in the theaters too.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see like on the small screen. But overall, I enjoyed it. Same. Love seeing Amanda Heard as Mare again because I loved her in the first movie, and just the fact again, like my biggest thing for the movie was having an awesome villain. So
yeah, oh yeah, Black Manta's so great, so good.
Yeah, so. That's it for our first episode of the year, season 4, episode 1. Appreciate everyone checking us out. Again, new year, we got tons of stuff. If you don't know, obviously we will be set up at King Kong with our pal V. Ken Marion. We will be at Terrificon as well for the 3 days, so make sure you come, and that'll be in August. And then anything else happens in between that, you never know where we may be. Anything else from you, Mr. Zach?
No, that's it. Looking forward to a good year. Great first episode. Let's keep it going.
Yes. And next week we will have a guest on, someone who you may know in the community. If you don't know them, it's going to be a good episode because it's Canadian, I'll say. Is it? No. Maybe. I'm going to tease that out there. But anyway, that's it, everybody. Thanks so much. Season 4, episode 1. Catch you all next week.
Later.
Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code ComicCon15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.